HarperCollins presents The Prison Doctor, The Final Sentence, Stories from Inside a Foreign National Prison, by Dr. Amanda Brown with Guy Adams, read by Sophie Aldred.
Prologue. HMP Huntercombe, 20th of December, 2013. I'm dead. The dead man's name was Kofi Aboah, and he was a giant. Over 6 foot of muscle, but shrinking. I could tell by his clothes that he had lost a lot of weight. His tracksuit slumped around him, looking as defeated as its inhabitant. Most noticeable of all was a very large swelling on the left side of his neck. I saw from his notes that he had advanced tonsillar cancer. Too advanced. He had only recently transferred from HMP Wormwood Scrubs, and this was the first time we'd met. This was not someone I could cure. All I could offer this man was kindness and the right to as much dignity and as little pain as possible. In the yard outside, a delivery lorry was repeatedly warning anyone within earshot that it was reversing. In the waiting room, two men were laughing long and hard. But it was as if those sounds were miles and miles away, because in my room there was nothing but this dead man and the photo of his family that he held in his hand. Dead, he said again. My body just needs to catch up. He held up the photo so that I could see. Four people, his family, standing in front of their Ghanaian home, a rough-hewn brown hut on the outskirts of Tamale. The door was splintering, green skin rupturing to show sun-faded wooden bone. The thatch was threadbare. The ground all around them was a bright yellow sand. Just beyond their home, a couple of women poked at the insides of a huge cooking pot with metal poles, as if whatever was cooking on this open fire needed fighting as well as heating. A small child, just apart from the cooks, had noticed the camera and was staring longingly out at me. A character from a story that was just to one side of the one I was in. The family my patient wanted me to see seemed happy. Happier, certainly, than this snapshot of their lives suggested they should be. He turned the photo back towards himself and looked at it again. He had such an air of sadness about him. It washed over me, and I couldn't help but be affected. A deep, bone-aching shiver of sympathy. My thoughts must have shown on my face, because he glanced at me and then winced, as if embarrassed. Don't look like that, he said. Not until you know what I have done. You might think I deserve it. Nobody deserves to die, I said, leaning back in my chair, which gave a little creak. Not even drug smugglers, he asked, almost combative, as if daring me to disagree. I have seen all the expressions. He smiled. The faces that start off sad, then become confused, become conflicted. I am used to it. Faces that change like the weather. Nobody, I insisted. I understood the complexity of this man's feelings. He wasn't the first prison patient I dealt with who carried a sizable weight of self-loathing. Some prisoners resented their sentences, some accepted them, and some felt they deserved even more. He winced again as he shifted in the blue plastic chair next to my desk. His smooth head was shining with sweat, his left leg constantly twitching, up and down, up and down. You're in a lot of pain, I said. It wasn't a question. He nodded and looked down at the floor, as if ashamed. I tell them, but they don't listen.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?